Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning, early call time.
It is so early up in this call time.
We haven't been doing this for a while because of the holiday.
Yeah. It's been a great intro, by the way. They wouldn't know. Boy.
I'm just saying we sound so polished, people will think we do these every day.
Well, not every day, but, some weekends we do a lot of them in one day.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
That's right.
And then we take a big old break, and that's why you hear us every week, but then, we're always talking about, oh, it feels like we haven't done this in a while.
I'm pulling back the curtain for people.
This is the first time in a long time that we've been all in the same room.
That's true.
Together, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, since before the holidays.
All of you.
Yeah, enjoy both of your guys' company.
This is my late Christmas present.
Did you have a good year?
I got $300.
Wow.
It's to reimburse
that's exciting.
Me
for Christmas?
For my plane ticket reimbursement.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for coming home.
Congratulations.
Now you're even.
Here's snow.
Yeah. I didn't get snow.
You didn't get snow.
I didn't get snow in Seattle very much.
Oh, wow.
2016 is shaping up to be a great year. I'm having a New Year's resolution to better prepare my New Year's resolutions for 2017.
Oh, that's
good. So my 2017 resolutions are going to be
killer.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, at least an 8.
Sweet.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Resolutions are cool. I don't have any, but...
I'm gonna continue being awesome.
Sweet.
So it's working out pretty good.
Oh,
I think you can.
Man, that's pretty good, jab. Yep. Shaking the cobwebs off, guys.
We have a guest here, like many episodes. Our guest today is Sarah Tarkoff.
Hi.
All right.
Yay.
Sarah. Thanks for coming, Sarah.
I'm really excited to be here. I've never done a podcast before. This should be fun.
You're very well spoken. You're gonna do great.
That's one way of putting the way that I speak.
Yeah, well spoken.
Well.
I know Sarah. We used to work on the show called Gossip Girl.
Good times.
Oh, that's a show.
I hear that's every parent's nightmare.
That's what it says on the poster.
Just reading the poster behind you.
Yeah. As you were a...
It's on KTLA-5, CW. Right?
Mondays at 8 p.m.
I was the script coordinator, which script is the person who proofreads all the scripts and sends them to people. Coordinates their being scripts.
Different color versions, the blue version. What is the order of color?
White, blue, pink, yellow, green, goldenrod, salmon, cherry. Oh,
there's buff in there.
Goldenrod, is that
depends
like a
on
yellow?
The studio.
You didn't do buff on Gossip Girl?
Gossip Girl, I think, only went through goldenrod. I can't remember. Every studio does it differently, but those were the usual ones.
We just did buff, which is a color I've never heard of.
And for people that don't know, anytime there's a revision to a script, they will change it and they will... Well, do you guys do pages? You do both, right?
We do both. Basically, the idea is that if you're on set and you're in the middle of shooting something and they're changing, one scene, you don't want to have to get an entirely new actual script. So what they do is they lock the pages so that every page, basically the same content stays on each page. And they just... they give you new revision pages that you can put into your old script to replace the original pages.
Okay.
So you end up with this rainbow colored script that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Does that get pretty confusing by the do you take out the scripts that were the scenes that were replaced, or is everything just kind of
you take out the old stuff? Okay. So that by the end you have the thing
so it's actually like a full script.
Still. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correlated. I think it's.
Are you a final draft person or a movie magic screenwriter?
I don't think anyone really uses movie magic.
Shonda does.
Really?
For all of her shows.
I didn't know that.
When we almost did, and then I said I don't own that, so I don't want to. They said, "Well, we'll go with that guy in the corner."
That's how that went down?
Not at all.
They gave us movie magic for free in college, so I did use it, but it's terrible. You couldn't, at least 10 years ago, you couldn't,
We need a screenwriter debate, because I've heard people who are furious with Final Draft, and screenwriters are
so
much better.
Oh, no, it's terrible. Both of those programs, they make them for the aspiring screenwriter. They don't make them for professionals, because most of the people that buy their software aren't professionals,
Right.
So it's they have all these... little tricks and things that are great for people who are first starting out. But if you're actually just trying to put out pages for a production, it's
yeah,
it's so frustrating.
Yeah, all right. So, like, what's some of the things that suck with Final Draft?
I mean, there's just very glitchy. It's very, very glitchy. That's the
it like easiest crashes. Way
to explain it. It just if you're trying to put out just the revisions, sometimes it'll put out the wrong pages. It doesn't necessarily put out everything that's new. If that makes sense.
We had a thing this season where we'd locked pages and we were making some revisions, and it was like there was a ghost in the room. All the text was coming in upside down. Amidst the text that was correct, it was terrifying.
Huh.
I don't know how you do that.
Huh.
Anyway. Yeah, like being a person that knows how to use Final Draft, like knows all the weird glitchiness that things of it, terrible. Has like, yeah. It's like they call you in and they're like, how do I fix this problem?
And that program has been the industry standard like forever, right?
As long as I am aware of.
Have you used Movie Magic on a show?
Not on a show. Just in my own personal life. And like, what would happen is like, you would create a file on one computer and then you would try to transfer it to another computer and it wouldn't come up correctly. So then I gave up on it.
Okay.
That was when fair I gave enough. Up on it.
I've always heard Movie Magic. Is there other stuff in that software? Is it like a script writer, but also like a budget?
They do budgets in it. Yeah. It's big for budgeting.
Oh, ADs. I think Justin uses
ADs it. ADs use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of our guests,
there's a whole like suite
saying that. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Awesome.
I'm learning.
Sarah, but you don't do coordinating work anymore.
I don't. I did script coordinating for a long, long time, and now I finally don't have to do it anymore. Fingers crossed.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've made the transition into actually writing.
Nice.
Which is wonderful.
Great.
Everybody's dream.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everybody, but most people. Yeah. You know, they want to write. Yeah. They want to create. You also have a novel.
Yes. That's going to be coming out. Before really any of the TV stuff was happening, I had been working as a script coordinator for a long time, and I sold this trilogy of novels.
That's awesome.
Is it about werewolves and vampires?
It is. It's vaguely dystopian. It's about like a world where if you do good things, you become more attractive. If you do bad things, you become less attractive to the point where like your throat can close up and you die.
Oh,
that's and so cool. It's about this
so ugly.
So ugly on the inside too. You have like an ugly esophagus.
Exactly.
That closes up.
So like, you know, it's this like seemingly utopian world where like no one can go to war because they'll like be struck down dead, and so it's about like this and so it's like this world religion that's like evolved to explain what's going on, and so it's basically about this like shallow teenage girl who discovers that like things aren't quite what they seem. So that's sort of
that sounds
gist.
Fun.
And so it's like a bit of a thriller, bit of a, you know, it's like a very fast-paced, you know, I come from TV, so it's like all the chapters I try to end on cliffhangers every chapter, so it's like,
what was the process like of writing that versus writing a script? Was it a lot harder because it's more dense, or
so I'd originally written it as a pilot.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, okay, like I have this story, I'll just turn it into a novel, because the feedback I'd been getting was like, you know, we really like this like 17-year-old girl character, and so that, you know, it feels sort of like it could live in this YA novel dystopian kind of space. And I was like, okay, like I'd never written a novel before. And I was working with this girl through Big Brothers Big Sisters, and she was 9 years old, and she was writing a novel. So I was like, look, like, nice. I gotta get my shit together.
Yeah.
if you can write it was a great novel. Like, you know, like, she's just, like, writing, and it's, like, coming out, and it's, like, she's been writing, like, 20 pages a day, and I'm like, okay, like, I can do this. So
20 pages a day?
Maybe that's...
When you don't have a job.
Yeah, when you're nine.
Hey, I mean, her job is to learn.
I mean, I guess I was typing and she was talking, so it was like...
Oh, you were... She was transcribing to you?
She was talking and I was like, yes, I was the assistant.
To a 9-year-old.
I wasn't like...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I was like, okay, like I can do this. So I basically took the pilot and I was like, okay, I'll stretch out the stuff that happens in the pilot and that seems like a good structure. And so I write basically based on my outline that I've come up with. And I get to the end of it and I'm like, so I have a third of a novel. This was not an entire novel. Novels are longer than I thought they were going to be.
Right.
And so I was like, well, now what do I do? So I sort of restructured it and added a bunch of stuff. And then eventually when I got to my agent, he was like, so you still don't have an ending. And he was like, you need to add an ending. And so I added an ending. And then so when we sold it, my editor, HarperCollins, was like, I feel like you still need more of an ending. And so then we added more to the ending. And
like, how much ending do you want?
Just write the end at the end of it.
Yeah, fade out.
All caps.
Yeah. Well, I still don't know if it has an ending, but now everyone seems happy with it. So
that's awesome. Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. So it is out April 2017. It's called Eye of the Beholder. If you're listening to this after April 2017, you can probably go out and buy it on Amazon.
True. I told Sarah that I will be getting hardback copies for her to sign. So when this blows up to be the next big thing, I can say, I remember when Sarah was awesome. Well, you're always going to be up.
Let's be real. I probably won't be once I'm, like, once I'm a huge success. I'll probably be a huge dick.
It'll get to your head.
For sure, it's going to get to my head.
JJ, who?
And then you get super ugly, and people are like, what happened? I'm like, well, it came true.
but it's called Eye of the Beholder.
It's called Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah. I don't think we had mentioned what the title of it was, but yeah.
And now we did.
Eye of the Beholder. Knows. Go out and buy it in a year and a half.
Eye of the Beholder. Eye of the Beholder. It's called Eye of the Beholder.
Eye of the Beholder.
What's it called?
Eye of the Beholder.
Oh.
Let's see, from Gossip Girl... Well, actually, let's start over.
Okay, yeah.
Let's start. Where?
Start over the podcast.
Start over.
Hey,
start
good morning.
Welcome to Early Call Time.
I got a joke for you. No,
do you?
No, I don't. Uh-huh. Not today. How did you start in the TV and film industry?
I went to USC. And studied in their screenwriting department, and they really encouraged you to do internships. So I did a bunch of internships. I did like 5. Something different internships,
like just during summers or like during the semester too.
Usually do it during summers. I also did like I worked as an intern on like Smallville.
That is awesome. So that was no idea.
So that was my very first. That's really how I got in. Probably is like one of my professors was like, "Here, submitted to one of his former students, and then who was the writer's PA there, and then she hired me as her intern, and then I then had writer's room experience, and then
that's cool.
When I went to later after college, my friend got me an interview on the show Eastwick, and it was also, this was like 2009, so this was like the recession, like you couldn't get a job, I could not get a job as a waitress, I couldn't get a job as anything.
Right.
My friend came in, and she was like, come be the writer's PA on the show, and they hired me, and I was like so excited, I made it. Like, I remember, like, I was on the Warner Brothers lot, and I was, like, looking out, like, over the Warner Brothers lot, and I was, like, I will never, like, I'm so happy, like, this is the best thing ever, and the show got canceled, like, 4 months later. But I ended up, like, it was wonderful, wonderful people, and the showrunner, Maggie Friedman, I ended up working with again, and she gave me my first episode on, she created a show called Witches of East End, which lasted a couple seasons, and I got to write an episode for her. And she's just wonderful, wonderful people. Wonderful human being. So
that's wonderful. What is that show about? Witches of East End?
Is it about
East
witches?
It is about witches.
Are they from East End?
They are, East End is not really placed in the world.
Mm.
It's a fictional place.
Okay. Okay.
But it's it's like a 4 women who are a family of witches, and they do witchy things, and there's romance, and there's action, and you know, it's kind of like in the sort of Buffy vein of like, it's kind of humorous, it's a lot of action, a little bit of horror.
All right, so not so much like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
No.
There's no talking cat.
I love Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Salem was the best character on television ever.
I don't think that's even I think that's just known.
Yeah. I hear that it was a real cat.
Well, it was cool. Both. There was an animatronic cat and there was a real cat.
Yeah.
And you definitely couldn't tell which one was which.
No, not at all.
Never.
The one that was talking was definitely real.
It's not dated. You know, it's just timeless.
And then after your internships, where did you go?
So from there,
well,
I went
you had
to
five. So
I, so five inter like five internships. And then I was the so I was the writer's PA on Eastwick, and then that got canceled. And then from there, I got a job as the writer's PA on Gossip Girl. And then shortly after that, I was promoted to script coordinator. That is how I know
it was very quick.
It was very quick. Yeah. It was one of those just like you got lucky and there was a person leaving and they promoted me. And
That was Vivian.
That was Vivian.
No, Vivian replaced me when I left.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Never mind.
I'm abandoning ship.
Sure.
brought on Vivian.
Yeah, Sarah was across, I think we said this before, but Sarah was across the hallway, and I would always ask her for ADR.
Yes.
Because she sounded awesome in the ADR, and a lot of the producers liked it, and so she was basically voices for Blair and and Serena.
Well, so this is when basically when you're cutting the episode, and you're like, wait, we want to add a line or redo this line, and we don't have the actor yet. So for the studio and network, when they're just watching the cuts to give notes, they just JJ would just be like, Sarah, can you like read this line? And I'd be like, oh, Serena, you're mean and whatever.
I can't believe this happened.
Stellar writing on Gossip Girl.
And you were a writer's PA at the time?
I was either that or a script coordinator. I can't remember.
Were you like trying to like get some lines in there? You're like, you know, wouldn't it be better if we said it this way or wrote it that way instead? I think it would flow better.
I remember a number of times you're like, is this how they want the? Yeah, this is the way it is? Okay. All right, I'll say it that way.
I don't remember that.
But it was just the way it was worded. You know, it just happens. I do the same thing. I'm like, that doesn't sound right, but I'll say it that way. Mm-hmm. It was a good time. So, and then you were also a writer on the Carpool web series that I produced, even though it only did one pilot episode. But it was fun. We got to do a writer's room and it was fun.
That was a really fun experience, and I feel like good, because I feel like it's hard to do a writer's room when there's not like when there's the showrunner, it's like you're just trying to make the showrunner happy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like that you're sort of, but when it's just sort of six people and you don't have like, there's not like a clear.
You need that hierarchy. Creative, like the
yeah. So it's
this is the voice, and then you guys are helping.
Yeah, but like I feel like it was really interesting to like. Because they're all really smart, funny people.
Yeah,
so, like,
absolutely.
To work with those people and like, I feel like was very helpful.
And for me, I think four out of the six people are writers now and like working on big shows. So it's like, it's kind of awesome that we all got to work together at one time. So
you made it happen.
Yeah, I did.
I give you credit.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Congrats.
Good job, guys.
Yeah. What was, let's say, after Gossip Girl, then you left coordinating to move to Mistresses, right?
I moved to Mistresses. I was there for a season, and then we weren't sure if it was going to get picked up because there was a long hiatus. So that's when I went to Witches of East End. And then those two shows, both of their season twos were starting up at the same time, and Witches offered me the freelance, so I went to Witches.
Gotcha.
And then Witches got canceled, which was very sad.
I'm sorry.
It was very sad because I was like, oh, I want to move up. And then it didn't work out. And then I was just, you know, working other script coordinator jobs, and then the novels sold. So.
Right. Well, you were a script coordinator on Arrow.
I was a script coordinator on Arrow.
Yeah.
But also just a fantastic, awesome group of people. Yeah. And I got to write a script there, which actually just aired last week, Wednesday.
Wow.
That was cool.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
And that's, you know, obviously a great world.
Yeah, Berlanti world.
Yep. He's, and just that DC Comics CW, like, they know what they're doing there.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really cool. Did you work in the same building as, like, Flash and...
Yes.
And,
that was, I think, the coolest part about that job was that it's those three shows. Mm-hmm. They're all, like, on the same hallway, and everyone's just really cool, and we just all hang out and know each other. And
oh, so that's cool.
It was a very social place.
You don't get that very often.
You really don't.
Yeah, especially with show to show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you might be, oh, yeah, they were down the hall, like Chuck for us.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we know some of them, but we really never socialized.
Well, I do feel like if they're connected shows, it's helpful because at least I feel like you have something in common, whereas, like, I feel like you're often very suspicious of whoever's down the hall from you because you're like, who are these people that work at whatever this other show is?
Yeah. But it's like you got like Arrow and Flash did a crossover. It's like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
where
and it's a lot of people that have worked on both shows and know, there's a lot of personnel crossover.
Too, yeah.
Which is good. So.
Like Mr. Berlanti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does he have, 93 shows on the air right now? Something like that?
Something absurd,
Yeah. Pretty cool. Some people would say he's very successful.
I would say that.
Yeah.
I am one of those some people.
But you just found out recently that you have good news.
Oh, yes. So for the past few months, I've been working as a staff writer on this ABC show called Mistresses, which is the place I was at three jobs ago. And they just brought me back as a staff writer. So that was very exciting.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
Yeah.
And you, it's always nice to see friends like moving up. And like when I saw that thing on Deadline, I was like, Wait. Is that Sarah?
That was so weird.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
It was about your book series.
It was about my book series. Well, yes. So it was my agents putting out a press release of like, we signed this person. So
you made it big time. You're on Deadline.
I was very weird.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
I didn't know it was happening, and then people just started emailing me like, congratulations, and I was like, for what?
Link me.
What's the... I mean, those are different worlds, something like Arrow versus something like Mistresses. So, you know, what did you feel like you had to bring to the table for one versus the other just to be able to contribute?
Oh, that's interesting. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I know. It's the only one I'm going to ask.
I mean, it's funny because they are so different. So, like, I feel like I guess I probably live somewhere in the intersection between them. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean,
did you have a sample that kind of fit Arrow versus a sample that fit Mistresses?
I have two different samples that, like, if I were going out for Arrow, they would send one thing. If I were going out for Mistresses, they'd send this other thing. But I guess at the end of the day, like, the way that they break Arrow, it's, like, it's still very much from a character perspective. So I feel like both shows... even though they seem very different, they're both coming from, like, what do these characters want? Like, what's the emotional story that we're telling for these characters? And so, you know, I mean, I think that that's sort of the way that I have always been taught to look at story. And so it's, you know, I guess I'm not answering your question. I'm just like, I'm just a cog.
I don't know what I wanted to get from it.
I'm just a cog in the machine.
Well, do you think, I mean, is there, if you're casting a writer's room, for instance, what role do you feel like you play? What do you bring?
My favorite thing to do is the structural stuff.
Okay.
Like, to take the beats and just sort of figure out how they fit together and, like, sort of how the stories intersect with each other and,
That's interesting.
Yeah, and what are the act outs and what's sort of the emotional heart of the story that you're getting to?
Yeah,
that's my favorite part of it.
How many different type of positions are in a writer's room? Like, you need a structure person, you need a character person.
I think it depends on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because I've never been a showrunner. I don't know if they, like, specifically look for those things.
Well, we did. Like, on our show, because I read all the samples that came in for staffing for our show, and it was like, we need our fanboy or fangirl who knows all about that world, and we need somebody who's really good with the procedural stuff. So they brought in someone from SVU, and it was like that sort of thing.
That's
so it seemed like it was like they were casting for the role in a way.
That's really interesting. I've definitely seen people filling those kinds of roles before.
I'm the idiot, in case anyone's asking.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Oh, my favorite person, which I am not, is the joke person. The person who's just, like, really
punch
fucking funny.
Yeah.
I'm just like, where's that person? I want to hire that person.
I know. It's fun to be that person.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been that person, so I'm in the same boat as you.
Will Schifrin is that person.
Oh, yeah, Will is really funny.
Yeah.
I like Will.
It's interesting to see somebody's mind work who's just like, hey, we need like a really good joke for this, and just out of the gate they've got five of them, and you're like, where did that come from? It's like, did you rehearse that before you came in here? It's impressive.
I'm jealous. I'm very jealous.
As a writer and in a writer's room, because we were talking about it a little bit, what, like, on a Monday morning when you go in, what do you guys do? Do you guys sit down and watch TV? You guys drink coffee? Like, what do you do?
I mean, generally, it's like you get your assignment from the showrunner, whether they're there or not. It's like, what are we going to discuss today? It's like, okay, let's break this character's story. And it's, you know, this is sort of the area that the showrunner wants the story to be in. You know, if it's a serialized thing, it's like they want, this is where we are in the arc, and just like tell a story that gets this character from point A to point B. Or if it's, you know, sort of a one-off episode, then it's, you know, tell a story about, you know, parenting or whatever it is. And so then we pitch on, you know, what do we think the story should be. And as a room, we sort of come up with something that we can then pitch to the showrunner.
Okay.
And then they come in and they say, like that, hate that, like that, hate that, and sort of go through the story. And then they leave and we re-break it with those notes and do that enough times. And eventually you have an episode of television. So.
Do you guys do like a pitch, like stand up and here's a presentation of what we've come up with for you? Or is it more just like, here's some stuff we were throwing around and let us know what you think?
Somewhere in the middle. I mean, we don't always stand up. I like to stand up because I gesture a lot. And I think it looks weird if you're gesturing a lot when you're sitting.
That's true.
You can't see me, people she's listening. Gesturing. She's gesturing. Gesturing a lot.
And she's sitting, so it looks weird.
It does look weird, right?
A little. You can stand up if you'd like.
You can okay. hop on the treadmill if you want, if you're comfortable.
We have stuff written on the board, and you go through the stuff written on the board. You want it to feel like a story, I think. Usually, I think it's either whoever's episode it is the one who does the pitching, or it's, you know, sort of one of the higher ranking people in the room usually takes.
Do your writers cover set when it's shooting?
Depends on the show and depends where the show is.
Right.
So, like, if it's in LA, then, like, I think we'll go to set.
Like on Mistresses, do the writers?
Yeah, I mean, so when Mistresses used to shoot in Vancouver and they didn't go up as much, but when we're in LA, I think we're going more. And if sometimes when shows shoot in Vancouver, they'll send someone up for like a few days and then bring them back. And so yeah.
And when you're on set, like what are your responsibilities?
I have shockingly never covered set before.
Really?
It's the
never
best.
Covered set.
He loves it.
It's my favorite part.
Yeah, Andrew, what is it?
Because
like?
The really, I don't know. You just. Well, it depends on the director.
Lots
I think.
Of crafty.
Lots of you just eat a lot.
You just eat.
Yeah.
Well, the director, like, you know, you're with the director and they're rehearsing the scene, and then it's really more once they're doing takes of it and the director will turn. Was that good for you? Do you have any notes? And then sometimes you go, and it's really cool because if it's like a really experienced director, you're like, yeah, actually, I need you to do this differently.
That's awesome.
And they're like, okay, yes, sir, right away.
Yes, sir, Mr.
And they run out and they tell the cast, do it. Yeah.
You heard the writer.
Yeah.
Get to work.
And there's people on radios, like writers coming in with notes, and you're like, you feel important.
That's amazing.
It makes sense, though, because it feels like you've spent sometimes months with this particular story, or sometimes hours, depending on how horribly things are going. But, like, you know the intent of it, so it makes sense to be able to be there and make sure that you're getting what you intended to get out of a scene.
Yeah. This might come back to the ADR thing, but when I've done ADR or when I've done, like, had been that person who had to, like, fill in at a table read for whatever character, I feel like it's much easier to sort of get the sense of what you're supposed to be doing as the actor because you were in the room and sort of knew. And you know, not that I have any aspirations to be an actor in any way, shape, or form, because that sounds awful, but... You know, I think that there is something to, like, being immersed in the world that you're able to pick up on stuff and therefore
be
helpful.
Yeah.
Well, you're able to get tone of the scene easily, and then you can understand how it is. Instead, if it's completely out of context, it's going to sound like it's completely out of context when you're in ADR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's also you have 80 people who are trying to make their day and so much stuff going on, and sometimes that can get lost in... Yeah. You know, the shuffle of everything. And so if you're just watching that monitor and going, oh, got to tweak that a little bit, then.
Yeah. It always surprised me that when I very first started, I was like, really? The directors aren't like part of the show. They just come in for one episode and then they leave. Like,
hired guns.
Like, yeah, right?
Like that's a real skill to be able to come in, get the tone of a show, and then, you know, go and do a completely different
show. Well, the director I just worked with said, it's like going to someone else's house for Thanksgiving dinner and then telling people where to sit. And like, you don't know that, you know, Aunt Mary and Uncle Tom are fighting and they don't want to be near each other right now. And you don't know what these relationships, and it's like, you got to figure that all out and make it look natural.
I
feel like that's why a lot of TV shows will have a director that does 4 episodes in a season.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we know everybody. Everybody works well together. You know that. That, you know, that director gets the right lines from the actors because they tell them immediately, do it again, you know, that and editors appreciate that, by the way. But it is kind of interesting now knowing that kind of side of things, how
I think that's why tone meetings are so helpful, though.
Yeah, how intricate it is, but also at the same time, it's like it's a lot of people skills. There's a lot of people skills involved in getting a television episode put together. But
I wouldn't know anything.
I'm kind
about
of rambling.
People but. Skills.
Sarah, you also directed a short, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I forgot about that. I did. Yeah. I 3 years ago, I guess now.
I remember reading one version of it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Thank
You know, I never saw the finished version, so
it's a thing that I shot entirely in my apartment. It was written to be the easiest thing I could possibly shoot in my apartment, which was basically like it was basically a takeoff on Groundhog's Day, which is like
nice.
You know, it's the repeating day.
Okay.
And it's this girl breaking up with her boyfriend, and she breaks up with him, and then just to do it all over again, like over and over again.
It's funny.
And so, you know, I got, you know, great actors and a bunch of people came and helped out, and, you know, it was a fun thing, and it was I learned a ton from it. But, you know, again,
it's harder than it looks.
It's so much harder.
Yeah.
It's like, we just stayed in one place.
Yeah. And at USC, the screenwriting program, they don't do as much production as, like, if you were in the production program that a lot of my friends went through.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of looked at it as, like, my, like, learn how to direct a thing.
Yeah.
So,
would you want to do more directing?
My takeaway from it was the things I loved about directing are the things you do as an EP on a show. So, like, I loved casting. I loved supervising post. I loved, like, hiring all the department heads and sort of, like, giving notes on, you know, this is what I want the production design to look like and, you know, all of those elements of it. But the actual working with the actors part, just, it was not... I enjoyed it, but it wasn't necessarily my favorite part of the process. So I'm glad to hire that. So I think going forward, I think I would be glad to hire that part out and just be a controlling executive producer on my own show. That's the ultimate goal.
Cool.
Sounds well, like you'd be great at it.
Good goal.
If you need an editor, I know one. I remember you came to me one time and you were like, so you were talking about blocking a scene.
Oh, right.
And I go... I remember you were sitting at the your desk right there at the entrance. I just have a vivid memory of saying you should go into Dex and you should watch the dailies.
I did do that,
and you could see how they block a scene and stuff like that. So
it was very helpful.
Yeah. So
yeah,
some of the things it just popped in my head.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about directing. So
yeah.
Good times. Good times. Do you have any? Do you have any advice you can give up and coming writers?
Don't worry too much, because ultimately a lot of it is just luck, and like you'll watch other people around you getting lucky first, and that's just you know, if you just keep waiting long enough and keep working, like you'll eventually be one of the people that gets lucky. That's my takeaway.
And try not to be too bitter of the people that get lucky before you.
Because it's really, really want to be.
Yeah.
Really want to be. But
it's not a good look. It's not a good look.
But it's like, you know, eventually you're going to be the person who gets lucky, and then you don't want all your friends being, but you know, like.
Yeah.
It's just, it all evens out eventually. I mean, it doesn't really, because eventually some people just keep getting lucky, and that's just whatever, but.
And it's like, fuck that guy.
I like him.
Or girl, fuck them.
Yeah. But, you know, like, it's such a crapshoot. I don't know. I've seen people who just you get on the right show at the right time, and it's just the right fit for you, and it just happens really easily. And some people who just sort of things get canceled, or they just don't find the right people, and it's just it takes longer. And you know,
do you have
numbers
a
game.
Do you have a plan for once hiatus comes for you?
Writing your second novel.
I gotta do that. I mean, just trying to find other jobs and get other projects going. And, you know, I've got good people helping me out, and I have, you know, good relationships with people. So just trying not to make the people who already like me hate me. And
it's a good thing to do.
That's the plan,
Pretty solid plan, I think. Yeah. Pretty solid high-end plan.
We also were talking about horror stories earlier.
Yeah. So... You don't have to say from where.
I will not say
with who.
Any names.
Yeah, don't have to say any names, anything like that, but we do need to hear a day-ruining, possibly career-ruining mistake.
Career-ruining would be
If you haven't noticed, Nadav loves these stories.
Okay.
So if you can blow his socks off,
it's just like
he will be happy.
It's just one of those like, oh, I'm glad that wasn't me, you know?
Yes.
I like feeling like that.
He will give you a jar of sauerkraut if the story holds up.
Yeah, if it's really good. I ferment my own cabbage.
Unfortunately, I'm perfect, so I've never made any mistakes, ever.
Okay.
That's fine. It just needs to be a good story.
But I do have a story from one of my early internships.
Ooh, I can't wait.
As, you know, in charge of getting lunch, which is basically what you do. When
cool
you're,
boy, here we go.
Something easy to fuck up.
Which, if you've never been in charge of getting lunch, it's like the hardest thing in the world because...
It's terrible.
It's awful, and everyone.
Some people are gluten free. Some can't have dairy.
So the restaurants will mess up your things, and they'll be late. And there's nothing more important to the people who you are getting lunch for than that you get the correct lunch to them on time. And you can't ever make a mistake. And it's very intense. It's a very intense thing. And so, you know, it's my job to get lunch there exactly at 1 o'clock and have it, you know, out ready for people. And I was running. There was one day. I was running late, and the restaurant was running late. Something, and I got a call from the PA who was like coordinating me at this internship, and he was like, "So, like, one of the other interns messed up lunch earlier in the week. Like, you need to get lunch here on time because otherwise, I'm gonna get fired."
Such good like, pressure.
Otherwise, the PA was going to get fired. And they're like, "This is this person's livelihood."
Yeah.
And then like the lunch was late, and I was like panicked, and I was getting lost, and I like called my mom crying, and I was like, "I can't do this. Like, I can't get lunch."
She's like, "Well, that is a pretty big fuck up."
So obviously, you know, doesn't quite fit here, but there's still to this day, you know, we have our Christmas tree at home. My mom has like little mementos of like all of our lives and stuff, and so there's still like a little lunch bag that commemorates like how hard it was for me to get lunch.
Wait, so I'm
your mom's cool. We should have her on our show.
My mom's great. My mom's the best.
Did this PA get fired?
I think I made it back by like 15 minutes late, and they were like, "Okay, we're gonna give you a reprieve. Like, you're not fired yet." And so I guess
to the PA.
The PA.
Did they make it to the end of the season?
They made it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, kind of a happy story.
This was a production company, so I don't think that PA is still working.
Oh, then what's their problem? They don't have a deadline. It's not a show. Calm down.
Oh, gosh.
Your fries will get there.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that it's never the PA's fault in my whenever they mess up my lunch, because for some, I don't know what it is, like especially Chipotle. I will say, all I just want is a bowl with chicken and vegetables and some rice, and it needs to be brown rice. They'll mess it up. I'm like, why? Why? I don't know.
That has to be the PA's fault.
Yeah. No, because I
don't know about the order.
Huh.
And they always mess it up. I don't know what it is about Chipotle. I ended up...
Oh, like you did some online order thing?
No. They give you the menu. They You put your name on it, and you say, "I want the chicken," and I'll circle the chicken, and I want a bowl, and I want the vegetables and then the brown rice.
How the fuck?
Dude, we are about to get so much free Chipotle right now.
I know.
From this.
And so I would do that, and the first two times did not come right. I ended up getting a burrito.
On these fucking Chipotle people.
Now listen. And then I started, because they kept messing it up, I started circling all of them that I wanted and then blacking out everything else. They finally started getting it right. And it was always my order. It was no one else's order.
That's so weird.
Maybe someone's just fucking with you.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
It's got to be.
Maybe they're like this JJ guy.
I bet it's a Santora thing.
Fuck that guy. Maybe.
It's like two initials for a first name. Fuck that noise.
Yeah.
How about some white rice,
you ruined
motherfucker?
Star Wars. No. I don't know.
Wrong JJ.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know where I was going with that, but...
Food is important.
It is important,
and
but
it's not the PA's
it's
fault.
It's not the most important.
Yeah.
It's not always the PA's fault.
I feel like it's the most important, though.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
What?
I just watch the clock all day, and then when it's 1 o'clock, I run to catering.
Have you ever worked on a show where they said, "No, we're not going to give you a water fountain thing, like the jug of water"?
We didn't have one for the first 2 weeks, and it was a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
People fell apart in that office.
Crying. Because I can't have a glass of water in the middle of the afternoon.
I couldn't cry because I didn't have any tears left because I was dehydrated.
Stuff like that happens, man.
Jeez.
It's unfortunate.
What'd you guys do?
Waited longer.
Yeah. Waited and complained some
got
more.
Got dehydrated.
Went to the store and bought some water, I guess.
Oh.
Got some tummy aches in your head.
Santa Clarita is really far away from
it's
civilization.
True. It's very hot. Very hot.
Poor guys.
Sarah, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me. This was super fun.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Was this an hour? Did we just talk for like an hour? I noticed you guys talk a long time.
Roughly.
What?
I think it's like 40 minutes.
Oh. Still, that's
a good job.
Do you have a Twitter account or something that people
my
can follow?
My Twitter is my name. It's at Sarah Tarkoff.
Okay.
Awesome.
How do you spell that last one?
It's some Sarah with an H.
Okay.
And then it's Tarkoff as in Frank. Two Fs at the end.
Two Fs.
Frank.
Yes. And I tweet a lot about my cat.
Oh, cool.
Sweet.
TV things.
Perfect. I feel like our audience like really loves cats.
Yeah, I don't know. There are cats here, and I got really excited about the cats, and you guys had to listen to me talk about the cats a lot. So like,
you can talk about the cats more if you want. Yeah. It's fine.
They're really cute.
Harry, Frankie, and Monster.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Harry Blackstone, Frankenstein.
Yep.
Monster.
Which
it's not short for anything. You should write a script about a cat.
Have I not done?
Have
that
you
yet?
Seen the trailer
yeah,
for the Key
done.
And Peele?
It's already
for
been
Keanu?
Done.
Yeah,
Keanu.
It's gonna be great.
You haven't seen the trailer?
No, I need to watch.
You have to see the trailer.
So they just decided, like, let's actually save a cat. Like, that's the premise of the movie, right? They took that
and they found the most adorable cat.
Let's just literally do that.
Yeah.
Is it an orange tabby?
No. It's a cute little like.
It's a cute
black and white. Yeah, grayish.
It is really cute.
It's adorable.
And like in the trailer, there's just a whole bunch of super cute kitty shots. It's just like, oh.
They broke the internet. They broke. Yeah.
It's genius. And it's going to make $1 jillion.
Wow. They're actually making this movie.
It's out. Like, the trailer's done. Like, it's.
Like, the
happening.
Red Band trailer, like.
The Red Band trailer's out.
Like, 3 or 4 days ago or something.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And
no.
Like, it's an actual movie.
It's called Keanu because the cat's name is Keanu.
I had lunch with the director of the movie. He told me about it, like, 6 months ago. And I was like, movie about a cat? That sounds ridiculous.
What?
And now I saw the trailer, I'm like, it's just as ridiculous as I thought it would be.
Wow.
And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it looks really funny.
It's gonna be really good.
I'm erecting a tent in front of the theater.
Wow, okay. I'll have to watch it.
So never mind, I guess. Don't write a script about a cat. I feel bad
now.
You can.
Let's make it a little different. Maybe write a
zombie,
spec sequel.
Zombie cat.
Oh, shit.
Zombie cat, I would watch.
That'd be dope as fuck. I'd watch it.
Anyways. Well, Andrew, you're on Twitter.
I'm at The Real Zuber.
Nadav, you're on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah, I'm at Very Nadav Show.
Oh.
JJ, you're on Twitter.
JJ Geiger 711.
Oh.
The podcast is on Twitter, too.
At Early Call Time?
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
And you can email us at earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yep.
And you can visit our website.
Yep.
Earlycalltime.com.
Yep.
Correct.
And you can hit us up on our Detroit number.
It's actually Philadelphia.
Okay.
267-225-CHAT.
That's neat.
Wait, do people call and like say things? What do they say?
They say how much they hate the show.
Like, you guys are neat.
We've had some hate mail. Which
really?
Is pretty awesome.
We got some extreme hate mail.
Oh, yeah.
One guy called us idiots.
We've had one or two. And then usually it's like, oh, we really like the show. Here's questions that we have. It's kind of fun. It's actually, interactive.
We actually had a really cool one. This guy wrote us an email. It was like, hey, guys, just letting you know, like, I'm like a wildlife photographer in the Sahara.
Oh, yeah.
And I listen to you guys with the windows down, so lions listen to your guys' stupid jokes. It's like, oh,
hey. That is pretty sweet.
It's really awesome.
We should read that letter.
No, wait, hold on. Did I just say Sahara? All right, not that.
It's South Africa.
The desert in Africa.
In the Sahara?
Dude, probably.
Yeah, let's just broaden it to Africa. Let's just say Africa.
But yeah. He's actually written in a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he's been on a journey.
So we get letters, we get emails, we get texts.
We had a guest on that wrote to us.
Yep.
People care sometimes.
This is really exciting for me.
Yeah. So maybe if you have a question for Sarah that we did not ask, we could forward that to you, Sarah.
Totally. Yeah.
You're gonna get like 50,000 followers just for being on this podcast.
I'm there. Yeah. I'm
pull is
excited
big.
For all the people that are interested to know my life.
It's a big deal.
That's right.
Sweet.
But without further ado,
listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.